Welcome to Friends in Faith, St. Philip's small group effort to really work for transformation in our lives. And we were motivated to do this by hearing from so many people, especially during the time of COVID, that they would like a deeper spiritual life, an increase in their spirituality. One thing I can't emphasize enough, and I think God bless you for wanting that, but I can't emphasize enough that this is not something you do alone. You know, when Jesus died on the cross, it wasn't coincidental or accidental that the cross had two elements to it. It had the vertical part that refers to you and God, your private part, like Jesus went alone off by himself to pray. But it also has the horizontal element that means we have to work together and help each other and minister and serve each other. And if you take one of those two things away, then you don't have the cross any longer. You don't have the sacrifice. So I want to emphasize again, don't do with an increase of spirituality. You can't say, I'll just do it alone. That would be like having a serious infection and saying, Lord, you have to heal me, and you're going to do it the way that I say you have to, rather than realizing, well, God can work through doctors and nurses and physician's assistants and work through other people to help me also. So it's not just about you. It's about all of us together. Because, you know, we've said many times now, we're better together than we are apart, because God created us to be together, not apart. And so here we go, friends in faith, we begin this journey together and hope that it really affects the transformation in each person's life, in our parish, in our community in Pasadena. Thank you.
We'd like to welcome all of you to another segment of Friends in Faith. Today we're going to talk about evangelization. Today's liturgy is about leprosy. Naaman, who was in Syria, who was cured by Elijah. And then the 10 lepers that Jesus cures. What must it have been like to be a leper? Your skin is being eaten away. Your nose, your ears. Other parts of your body are disintegrating. You feel dirty and rejected. People fear you. They run away from you. Your life is filled with rejection. And there's no cure. There's only fear and despair. Sin and the separation from God can be a lot like leprosy. Many times, it's not the person's fault. Nobody's ever brought to them who Christ is, or it was brought to them in such a way that they just never connected. They never understood with their heart. They have no idea of what damage is happening because they're not connected with Christ. They have a facade. I want everybody to think that they're doing great, but inside there's a self-hate and there's a fear. Yet how does Christ see the leper? How does Christ see somebody away from him? Well, with infinite love and tenderness. He is never indifferent. He has died to save each and every one of us. He wants to give each and every one of us the true meaning of life, a direction that is healthy, and ends up with fulfillment and joy and peace. It's a crime that so many people do not know the person of Jesus Christ. Yet each and every one of us have come to Christ through the example or the witness of others. That's the way it happens. Generations and generations and generations of handing on the faith, evangelizing. And so the gift that we have is a gift that we need to give. We need to encourage, and that's how it works. As a priest, we get to see that the deepest, most profound hurt and trauma that other people suffer are really self-inflicted wounds. We are the ones who shoot ourselves in the foot. And as a result, our selfishness, our addictions, our betrayals, truly empty our own souls of peace and happiness, and replace it with guilt and shame and anger and self-pity, there is nowhere to heal or recover from it. So many people we see, we have no idea the living hell they live. This trauma, this fear, this slavery. And yet, we have something that can free them from all of that. St. Paul, I believe, is a true model of evangelization. Paul sees evangelization as, number one, rescuing people from their own personal hell, and ultimately opening up the gates of eternal salvation for people by bringing them to Jesus Christ himself. So what is Paul's secret? Number one, he believes in the power of God, the word of God that is not unchained. It's God's grace that moves the heart. It's not Paul that has to convince everybody. It's God's power, the power that's already within you that can do infinitely more than you could ever imagine or ask, Ephesians 3:20, right? If we truly believe in this power, then so much of our hesitation to evangelize disappears. Number two, he is willing to suffer for the sake of those who are chosen, he says. He goes out of his comfort zone. He's not afraid of rejection. And how deep is our comfort zone? We can talk about anything except religion and politics. To invite somebody else back to church, oof, that gives us so much discomfort. And yet Paul suffers. And his suffering for not doing this is 1,000 times more than his discomfort. Number three, Paul truly loves those he wants to give the gospel to. He believes that everybody he encounters is called and chosen to be a saint, and that Christ has already died for their sins. And Christ wants him to be that instrument, that invitation. And that's why he looks with each person with love and respect and is able to witness to them. And number four, he knows the consequences of not bringing those to Christ. Consequences in this world, the suffering, loneliness, guilt, living without direction, living in desperation to try to fill my soul up with things that have no substance. And he truly desires to bring each and every one of us to eternal happiness, eternal glory, and not eternal loneliness and eternal suffering. Each and every one of us are called to evangelize, are called to witness. We should have a 2-3 minute witness of what God has done in my own heart. We need to think and pray about that. We need to have this down. Today, I'd like us to discuss 4 questions. In our groups. Number one, do I believe that people's happiness truly depends on their relationship with Jesus Christ? Let me repeat that. Do I believe that people's happiness truly depends on their relationship with Jesus Christ? Because if it does, wow, what an opportunity we have. Number two, second question. Have I given up on people? A brother, sister, an in-law, an outlaw, a neighbor, a next friend? Do I truly believe that people will never find fulfillment outside of Christ, and that it is never too late to bring them back? Number three, how often do I invite people back to church to go to confession with me? To go to Mass with me, How often do I invite people to dinner? Why is one so much easier than the other? And finally, number four, do I believe that Christ needs me and wants me to be his instrument in evangelization? And I'd just like to finish with a story. About 20 years ago, I was in Coral Gables giving a parish mission with Jeff Cavins, and I had been hearing 4 hours of confession every single day at the parish. Sunday morning, I celebrated the 8 a.m. Mass, and at 9 a.m., I was leaving the church and going to the airport when a woman said, "Father, Father, can you please hear my confession?" I said, "Well, I'm running to the airport. I have to catch my plane, but I guess I have a minute." Well, I went in, heard her confession, and an hour later, I left. All of a sudden, I was really late for my plane. I missed my plane, and I needed to be in Atlanta to give another series of talks that evening to a group of 300 men. So, I wait, and I wait. And one plane is, I go on the waiting list, and one plane is full, and another plane is full, and another plane is full. And finally, it is 12 o'clock, and if I don't get the next 1 o'clock plane, it's over. I don't even know what I'm gonna do. So, I'm there praying and saying, "Lord, you're in charge, what are you doing?" And as I'm saying this, a man comes over and says, "You a priest?" And I want to say, "No, this is a neck brace," but I don't say that. I said, "Sure." I said, "Sit down." And he says, "I used to be Catholic." And then he begins to tell his story. He left his wife, he did this, he did that. He just said, "I just became more and more and more selfish. And the more selfish I became, the emptier I became, and the angrier I became." And he said, "I'm the worst person I know." And I looked at him and I said, "You need to come back to church." And he laughed. He said, "Me? You have no idea who you're inviting." I said, "Yes, I do." He said, "Well, what would I have to do to go back to church?" I said, "Go to confession." And he turns white. He said, "My God, I couldn't do that." And I looked at him and I said, "You just did." "So you mean that could count?" I said, "Well, is there anything else?" He said, "I think I was pretty explicit, huh?" I said, "Yeah, you were." So I went, I gave him absolution, and he began to cry like a baby. And he said, "This is the most incredible moment of my life. You are the first person who's invited me back to Christ in 45 years. Thank you." At that moment, I said, "I can never again be afraid to invite anybody back to church. Let us truly have the spirit of St. Paul, bringing people to Christ so that he can heal them and love them and change their life forever. Thank you. God bless."